Chapter 1. How Candide was brought up in a beautiful castle, and how he was kicked out of the same. Once upon a time in Westphalia, in the castle of Baron Thunder Ten Trunk, there lived a young boy whom nature had endowed with the gentlest of dispositions. His soul was written upon his countenance. He was quite sound in his judgment, and he had the most straightforward of minds. It is for this reason, I believe, that he was called Candide. The older servants of the household suspected that he was the son of the Baron's sister, by a kind and upright gentleman of the neighbourhood, a man whom this lady had consistently refused to marry, because he had only ever been able to establish 71 heraldic quarterings, the rest of his family tree having been destroyed by the ravages of time. The Baron was one of the most powerful noblemen in Westphalia, for his castle had a door and windows. His great hall was even adorned with a tapestry. All the dogs in his farmyards would combine, when the need arose, to make up a pack of hounds. His grooms were his whippers-in, and the local vicar his great almoner. They all called him Your Lordship, and laughed at his jokes. The Baroness, who weighed approximately 350 pounds, therefore enjoyed a large measure of public esteem, and she performed the honours of the house with a degree of dignified aplomb that rendered her all the more respectable. Her daughter Cunégonde, being 17 and of a high complexion, looked fresh, chubby, and toothsome. The Baron's son seemed in every way worthy of his father. Pangloss, the tutor, was the oracle of the household, and little Candide would listen to his lessons with all the good faith of his age and character. Pangloss taught metaphysico-theologico-cosmo-codology. He could prove wonderfully that there is no effect without a cause, and that in this best of all possible worlds, his lordship the Baron's castle was the most beautiful of castles, and Madame the best of all possible baronesses. "It is demonstrably true," he would say, "that things cannot be other than as they are. For, everything having been made for a purpose, everything is necessarily for the best purpose. Observe how noses were made to bear spectacles, and so we have spectacles. Legs are evidently devised to be clad in breeches, and breeches we have. Stones were formed in such a way that they can be hewn and made into castles, and so his lordship has a very beautiful castle. The greatest baron in the province must be the best lodged. Since pigs were made to be eaten, we eat pork all the year round. Consequently, those who have argued that all is well have been talking nonsense. They should have said that all is for the best." Candide would listen attentively, and innocently he would believe, for he found Miss Cunégonde extremely beautiful, though he had never made bold to tell her so. His conclusion was that next to the happiness of being born Baron Thunder Ten Tronc, the second degree of happiness was being Miss Cunégonde, the third was seeing her every day, and the fourth was listening to Maître Pangloss, the greatest philosopher in the province, and therefore in the whole world.